the Garden. I'm Len Schroeder.
And I'm Julio Zamora.
You know, it's time to plant onions and garlic for the most flavorful crop you can harvest in spring. We'll tell you how during our first segment.
Enjoy your rose's final blossoms for the year. Listen what to do when those final petals fall in our second segment.
Planting a garden cover crop improves your garden soil in many ways. Here are the benefits to planting a cover crop during our third segment.
Do you have a tree or shrub you'd like to move? Now's the time. We'll tell you what you have to do during our fourth segment.
Feeding wild bird seed to birds makes sense, but what's the deal with suet? We're going to explain the benefits of feeding bird suet in our final segment.
So stay tuned and we'll be right back in the garden right after these messages. Bloomers in the Garden is brought to you each week by Bloomers Home and Garden Center. Bloomers is an award-winning garden center just 20 minutes from Philadelphia. Bloomers has been providing expert advice turning brown thumbs green for over 30 years. At Bloomers, we want you to ask us every question, even if you think it's silly. We share information in a friendly, non-judgmental way that is meant to teach and spread the joy of gardening. Visit Bloomers Home and Garden Center in Washington Township, Gloucester County. For directions, go to bloomers.com, and we'll see you in the garden.
High-yield brand bone meal contains 10% slow-release natural phosphorus. It helps all plants to develop sturdy root systems and stimulate healthy growth. You'll use it every time you plant bulbs, but it also is an excellent supplement fertilizer for roses, flowers, and vegetable gardens. High-yield bone meal is sourced from steamed bone meal, which provides a clean, natural source of phosphorus. High Yield is brought to you by VPG, the Fertilome people. You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider or see and hear us by subscribing to Bloomers YouTube channel. Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley every Saturday. First, wake up with us at 6 a.m. on WNWR The Word at 95.3 FM and 1540 AM. Tune in at 8 a.m. to Bloomers in the Garden Radio on Talk 860 WWDB. A rebroadcast of Bloomers in the Garden Radio is played each Saturday evening at 5 p.m. on The Word, 95.3 FM and 1540 AM. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard throughout the New York tri-state area on Classic Oldies, 1250 AM WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden. Well, that time is ending. Yeah. Your tomatoes and peppers are probably winding down, but there's still time to plant, and that's garlic and onions. Yeah. You know, it great crop.
Oh, yeah.
You brought it to my attention the first time where when you plant onions in the fall, this time of the year, they actually have a better flavor.
Better flavor, yeah.
Than if you do them, say, in the spring
and
you harvest them in, say, summer. I don't know. It's something where, it used to be you only could plant what are called onion sets, and they're basically little baby onions, little tiny things. Tiny like Julio's holding up. It's like about it, like a half an inch, and it looks like a baby onion. Mm-hmm. That's what you use. I don't like the fact that you can purchase a pack of seeds. So actually you're letting it go to seed and then harvesting those seeds, and that's what you're planting in the ground. Takes longer, doesn't do as well. Still, our suggestion here at Bloomers in the Garden is to plant onion sets. Don't go and plant the seeds. And then garlic. Don't think that you can plant the garlic you buy at the grocery store. A lot of time that's California garlic. It's not the same garlic. You need to go out to your local garden center and buy your garlic to plant. And those novices don't take a whole garlic clove and plant it. We'll get into it.
Not going to work.
You got to prepare your soil. Like any good garden, whether it's in the fall or whether it's in the spring, it all comes down to getting that garden prepared. So here's what to do. First, soft soil is what you want, because the roots and the actual, you think about different, like for instance, growing carrots.
Right.
they've got to go deep and they have to form that carrot. And if they're in hard soil, it doesn't work. Yeah. Or if you're growing onions and it's hard soil, they'll just pop up out of the ground and you won't have good success. So you want to have soft soil with good drainage. And what that means is adding bumper crop, right,
Leon? Yeah, number one.
That's it. And it's got to be mixed in the soil. Mm-hmm. Bag covers about 100 square feet, and that's a 2-cubic-foot bag. If your soil is heavier, okay, then you'll want to do maybe more, heavy soils. That's a clay soil. Yeah. If you've got clay. Certainly down here in South Jersey, they don't call it Marlton for nothing, like marl clay. Yeah. And that the heavy clay will help add it. All right. I know, Julio, you're not going to know this. You are not prepared at all to answer this question, and it's going to be hard, okay? What are the three elements that make up a good soil or a good loam? So I'll start you off with one that you probably wouldn't know. Sand,
right.
All right. What's bumper crop?
Bumper crop is compost.
Or organic matter. Sand, organic matter.
Right.
And actually a little bit of clay.
Clay, yeah.
Scientifically, the clay ions nutrients collect to. Anyway, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yes, all right.
I learned something in school. Yeah. Anyway, so you got to make sure that you've got a nice soft soil bed and that it's not only going to help now, it's going to help later on. Yeah. All right. So now what about warm autumn soil? Oh, yeah. You've got to have it's probably about 6 weeks. Now, this morning, it was a little chilly, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Very much.
It's going to go back and get a little bit warm. More, I think temperatures of the 80s. In 80. Oh, wow. 80, I think. Mm-hmm. But I looked at the 15-day forecast. It's fine.
It's fine?
Yeah, it's fine. I'm just happy that the greenhouse heat won't be going on as much.
Save a little energy.
But yeah, because I don't see, we still can get a frost if it's above 32, but I don't see freezing temperatures
coming up.
And that the soil temperature needs to be warm enough. So warm soil will establish a strong root system. And you need to establish a little bit of a root system in the ground with your garlic or your onions before the freeze of winter comes in and the crop goes dormant. So again, it's you're planting these now. They're going to grow for several weeks, depending on what the weather is. Mm-hmm. So they're going to grow probably into December or even farther, depending on how that temperature is. And then they'll go dormant, and then they'll start growing again in the spring.
So they're getting a head start.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they're getting. And that you'll be able to harvest them earlier than if you planted in the spring. Okay. We went over onion sets. Plant onion sets, not seed. Okay. They just do better. They're easier for you. But how do you plant them? This is how. You're going to dig a shallow trench about 2 inches deep. I like that.
You don't have to dig too far.
It's like,
say you're back, huh?
That's right. This segment coming up, we're having about transplanting your shrubs. That's got a lot deeper than 2 inches. So you put a shallow trench about 2 inches deep.
Oh, yeah.
And that you're going to line it. You're going to put a little bit of that bumper crop in that, only halfway in that little trench. Okay. The trenches themselves, you're going to plant they're going to be about a foot apart. Depends on how many onions you're going to want or you're going to use. And that's one thing. Onions do hold pretty well.
Yeah,
it's not like they all of a sudden rot like some of the softer vegetables. And then you're going to plant each onion set about 4 to 6 inches apart. Now you have that trench with that nice bumper crop lining. And then you're going to take that onion set and push it firmly into the soil and you're only going to cover it with 1 or 2 inches of soil. And if you can mix that bumper crop where it's a 50-50 mix of your soil and bumper crop, they're going to do tremendous. They're going to do tremendous. And then the one thing you probably didn't think of, you're going to mulch it. You're going to put about 4 inches of straw. And here's one thing. You don't want to put straw that has its weed seed. So a lot of the straw that we'll get, it's mulching straw, and that it doesn't have, it's basically harvested before it goes and the seeds pollinate, and therefore you're not planting weeds. Now, straw is a problem. So, but there are types of straw, like we have that tack straw that's for grass seed that works excellent, and that would be ideal because it's soft enough for the onions to pull through, but that does not have any weed seed in it because it's like you're planting grass if you use the type of straw that is used to, say, line a stall for horses or something along those lines, like bedding, because they have all the weed seed in it. So it's one thing you want to be sure is that you're not all of a sudden finding grass seed growing in your onion sets. It can be a problem, that's for sure. So you're going to mulch about 4 inches, and what that happened is that that will compact. You also can use shredded leaves. I don't like using full leaves. The first thing I think about is, like, for instance, oak leaves take forever to decompose, and that if they're shredded, it's going to be like a mulch. But if they're just regular leaves, you don't want to do that because they will not break down, and that it won't be good for your onions. It could actually cover your onions instead of, you know, your onions would have to make like a right turn for it to grow yeah. up out, and it's just not a good idea. Yeah. You can use regular mulch, but just make sure it's very fine. I'm not totally big fan of that because you've got to turn it into your garden later. Mm-hmm. I mean, I certainly like the straw, but without any weed seed, any straw seed in it. Probably is the best because it is the lightest. It can be turned over into your garden and add some biomass in there, and that it's just a good choice. So onions are easy. Onions are easy. You know, they're going to grow about 6 weeks or so before, like we talked about, before they go dormant, and then in the spring you'll be surprised on how fast they'll probably be growing before you get back into your garden in the spring. Because they already have a rooted base, and again, they start developing, growing, and all of a sudden those onions, because you usually can see the top of the onion and how big it's going to be, and you just let it grow, and you let it grow, and the early summer, the leaves will begin to lose their color. They'll get yellow. They're not dying, but the tops are drying up, and then when they flop over, then it's time for your harvest. Don't harvest them too soon. Let them do their thing. Let them get yellow. Any of you have grown bulbs? Next week, we're going to talk all about bulbs. But if anybody has grown bulbs, like tulip bulbs or daffodil bulbs, you know that just like with the onions, that their foliage turns yellow when they're done. And that's what you have to allow those onions to do. And a lot of times you'll find that they've actually, when they're matured, they've almost pushed themselves out of the soil they've grown, and the roots are now, you know, below the onion, but the onion is actually almost level on the soil. So you'll be able to see, you know, how good your onions look. But then you can't just run in and take them into the kitchen. You've got to cure them. So again, you put them in the fall. You've let them grow. They've fallen over, but you've harvested them. Don't make the mistake of rinsing them off with water. Do not air dry them. You're going to brush them off with. You can use a brush to clean off the soil. Do not rinse them with water, and you're just going to let them cure, and that they'll get that papery coating on the top of them, and you're going to air cure them. You're going to do this the same technique with garlic, and you're just going to let them dry out a little. You want that first leaf coat or the shell of that onion okay, to get that papery protection on it, you're not going to be doing it and harvesting it, bringing it right in, okay? So just be patient. Onions require a little patience. Yeah. They're really easy to grow, but just be patient. Let them cure for a little bit so that they get that papery shell. Mm-hmm. Most important. All right, so what about garlic? Now, you know, the pointy side up, right? We talk pointy about that with up. Bulbs That's all right. the time. It's like, point up. Mm-hmm. So you're going to take a clove of garlic that you get from your local garden center mm-hmm. that are meant to be grown in this area, okay? You're going to pull them apart. You're going to – I hate – you know when you cook? I hate pulling apart the cloves and everything down. And then –
Yeah,
I got garlic that was already pre-cleaned.
How'd you get that?
I went to Wegmans.
Oh.
Anyway, and what's best is they have them in a little pack of five.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're cooking, of course, this is the, Bloomers in the Garden cooking show. So what happens is that they have them already cleaned, and they have them in these, like, these little packs of five.
Okay.
That are, like, shrunk-wrapped.
Right.
So then I have garlic, and it lasts for a real long time because all the air is pulled out. But anyway, so you're going to pull apart your garlic cloves and make each clove, each individual clove, like, again, the garlic bulb is not a clove. That is where all the cloves are inside, and anybody who cooks knows that. So you're going to go and leave the papery coating on. You're not going to clean it. Like they did for my Wegmans garlic, okay? It's going to go in with that papery thing that covers it all on it. And that you're going to do the same technique that you did with the onions, soft soil. You're going to go and you're going to plant them with the point up, and you're going to put them an inch deeper than the onions, okay? So about 3 inches down. All right, just don't remember that. Point up. Oh, he's all point up. Point towards the sun. And you're going to put them about 6 inches apart. Going to do the same thing. You're going to mulch them with about 4 inches of straw. And again, you want straw that does not have the seeds in it. Or you can, you know, one thing I didn't mention, for the onions and for this, you could use bumper crop.
Oh, yeah.
You could just, you know, use that as a mulch. Yeah. But you want them to do bumper crop. I don't think you have to do as much. You probably do about 2 inches of bumper crop on top, and that would be enough. Where there's not as much air space that there would be in straw. Just saying. So, again, you could do it with bumper crop, straw, or if you have shredded leaves, you can do it that way. And what happens is the mulch, it prevents the garlic roots from being heaved out of the ground as well because, you know, so – you know, we all know that the weather through the winter is like, oh, man, it's snowing. It's 20 degrees outside. And the next week it's like 60. And, you know, yeah. And all of a sudden, you know, it's the ground freezes and then it thaws out and then it freezes and then it thaws out. And that in that type of alternative freezing, it can pop out the garlic. So you want to keep that mulch on top and that will keep the roots safe. So, again, mulching, let's see. Oh, okay. Each leaf, so you only have one leaf, okay? You know how when you planted them, you left that paper on? Mm-hmm. When a leaf comes up, and that this is how it works, folks, each leaf is one layer of the paper that's wrapped around the garlic bulb. Mm-hmm. So if you have one leaf, two leaves, three, you know, that's where you do that peeling, mm-hmm. and the peeling from. So a garlic plant with 10 green leaves will have 10 layers of wrappers around the bulb. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, you know, how you count the rings on a tree.
Yeah, same thing.
Kind of the same thing. Mm-hmm. Kind of the same thing. So there's no standard number of leaves that is, you know, you don't have to wait. You know, I need to have 32 leaves before I pull them out of the ground. That is not true. 10 leaves is usually good. When the leaves... The best way, it's just like in the onions. When the leaves, okay, start to die off and half are green and half are yellow, that's when and that's when you're going to pull them out. And one thing, too, is the leaves start dying from the bottom up, not from the top down. So that's just something to pay attention to. Don't get freaked out that, oh, there's something wrong with my garlic. There's nothing going wrong. It's just what it's supposed to do. And that, again, if you want them to stay fresh in the pantry, and I know you do, you have to make sure that you cure them like the onions. You have to basically let it dry out, and the skin will shrink and it turns papery and forms that protective barrier against moisture and mold. So again, a lot of information in this segment. It's basically plant them in soft soil, harvest them when the foliage begins to go yellow and die off, and then cure them so that the papery barrier that's on the onion or the garlic is present. And then you can cut off the tops.
Oh, yeah.
And then you can bring them inside.
And eat.
Chow down. Mm-hmm. Chow down. All right. If you've got questions about onions or garlic, please call the hotline. That hotline number is 609-685-1880. Please tell us where you listen to us and also what your number is so that we can get back to you. We have a lot of people that call. They forget to leave their telephone number.
Yeah.
We find you.
Yeah,
but again, if you leave your number, makes it easier. And if we use your question on the show, you get a free T-shirt.
Yeah.
You're sending out T-shirt this week, right?
Yeah.
Who, Bernie?
Yeah.
Bernie getting a T-shirt?
Yep.
Okay. We'll be back in the garden right after this. Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers T-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden.
Dreaming of a gorgeous garden? Give your azaleas, rhododendron, blueberries, and evergreens a powerful boost with the number one acid-loving plant food, Espoma Organic Hollytone. Hollytone is a perfect blend of natural, long-lasting ingredients that nourish plants for stronger roots, faster growth, and bountiful blooms. Plus, it's easy to use and safe for people, pets, and planet. Visit Espoma.com for a retailer near you and helpful gardening tips. Espoma, a natural in the garden since 1929.
Last year, millions of Americans asked the internet about protecting their lawns and gardens. There's one simple answer: BioAdvanced. Because gardeners have trusted the blue bottle for decades. Invasive insects? Blue bottle. Lawn fungus? Blue bottle. Japanese beetles? Blue bottle. A BioAdvanced answer for every question and guaranteed solutions for every problem. BioAdvanced. Get more from the blue bottle. BioAdvanced All-in-One Rose and Flower Care controls insects and diseases, plus feeds.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. Well, roses need a little care this time of year to be their best next spring. That's what you have to do.
That's right.
Tell you all about it.
All this time when you're taking care of your lawn and you're taking care of your plants and everything, it's not so much what's going to happen with them now. It's how next beautiful time. They'll be in spring.
That's right.
So what is this? Another question to Julio.
Right.
On the game show, what's your garden?
Ding, ding, ding.
Okay. What is the one plant that flowers all summer reliably and always has?
All summer reliably. Roses.
Bing. Got it. I love roses.
Nailed it.
I really do. Right? Needs a little bit of care, but again, you get so much from them. You got to decide with roses and your fall care, what do you have? What do you have? You got to do some pruning and such, but what kind of rose do you have? Is it a knockout or like a shrub rose, a drift rose? There's so many. I guess they're knockoffs of knockouts, right? So a lot of shrub roses that are you know, a proven winner's got their version and so on and so forth.
Different names.
And the reason I say that is that you've got that will determine how you're gonna prune them, if at all. Now, one thing: let all of the flowers drop off of your roses, and let them form rose hips. that the rose hips are the like little knot that forms on the end of the rose, because that's going to help them to go into dormancy, and it's it really shouldn't be messed with until, like, this would be part of winter pruning, I would say. Mm-hmm. But there's a few things just to see if you follow us here on what you need to do. After they all have dropped their leaves, you're going to pick up their leaves because you don't want to have any disease issues that are carrying over. The spores and those diseases in those leaves then go and transfer into the soil. And guess what? You've got a brand new crop of disease coming into those same plants for next year because you left the leaves there and the spores are in the soil. So all season, I would be trying to pick up any of those leaves that are falling from your roses if you've got any disease issues, for sure. So you're not going to prune right away. You're going to let them form rose hips. Okay, that's basically their fruit. Isn't that, well, you're like organic healing rose kind of thing, right? Rose hips are a vitamin, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't suggest eating them, but just saying. that's what a rose hip is, so now you'll know what it looks like. Spray them with a dormant oil spray. Under, you know, the branches, all coat it to the point where it runs off. And then that way you're honestly suffocating any insects and overwintering in egg masses. So like the disease issue, you're also cleaning them up for next year. So you won't have, you know, some of the insect issues. Now, once you decide what kind of roses you have, like say you have knockout roses or shrub roses, like a drift rose, you can treat them like a landscape plant. You know, you just go ahead and shear them. You don't really have to be too concerned. I always like, I don't care what rose it is, I would like having the centers opened up a little bit so it has a little extra airflow, but it's not as critical for a shrub type. Do you have a hybrid tea or floribunda where they have a grafted root and where it's separate, so the tops and roots? That those are going to need to be opened up and pruned down, and that you want to keep them more open. And it also should be, really you should consider, like some of our colder areas that are in our listening zone, like some of the Poconos areas and some of the New York State areas that listen to us, you need to go ahead and mulch them. And again, it goes the same thing. Make sure you got all those leaves picked up. What about a climber or a pillar rose? That needs special care. This is where I always tease Julio about going in and getting his pantyhose. Because the canes need to be tied up so they don't blow or create a sail or flap and move around in the wind. And that the best thing, you have to do it with something soft. And honestly, when you're staking roses, you don't want to use a wire or you don't want to use really a sharp type of string, because it'll cut into the actual stem and it will kill a whole section. You want to go ahead and use a something soft. And the best thing, honestly, or pantyhose, you know, using stockings and using them because they tighten, they make a great knot, and that they can then just, it's just easy. And that, especially with climbers, a lot of times, like my favorite rose is in Father of the Bride, that Steve Martin, here I am, movies again. I know. Mm-hmm. All right. Anyway, the front of the house, like I'm not watching the movie for the story, but the front of the house has a climbing rose that climbs over the top of the entry of the house, and it's beautiful. Anyway, all right. But the only way that you can take care of something like that is if you tie it up so that it doesn't have all of the winter wind that has it blowing off of the top of the house. It's something, again, stockings work great. You need to tie up your tomatoes? Stockings. Your tomatoes get a little tall? Stockings. Tie them with the stockings, because that it'll create a wider surface area where it's holding on to rather than concentrating it along that stem, and you're not, you know, girdling the stem. Again, you're going to basically keep them up and gather them up in a bunch, because you're not going to prune them. Pruning really should wait until you do your winter pruning. And all the climbers and such like that, I wouldn't even do. I wouldn't do them. I would just let them grow. If you're starting to get crossing branches and things like that, but we'll talk about that in the winter pruning segment that you'll hear probably in February. And that's when you're going to do the majority of your pruning. So again, like we said, let them go into rose hips, let them mature. That is their fruit. Let them go totally dormant. But you do want to make sure that you're cleaning up all around them. Most important. No leaves around the bases of the plant. Mm-hmm. Other than that, you don't have much to do.
Yeah, that's easy.
Yeah. That was an easy one.
It was easy, right?
Yeah.
We like easy.
Yeah. And ask your wife or significant other if they have any stockings with holes in them
before you go
into the stocking drawer and grab something that's like, I paid $70.
Oh, no.
I have no idea how much stocking it was. Could be. That would be a problem. I did. Aaron's shaking his head. Yeah. Do you know what stockings cost?
No, but if they cost $70, you'd be using an old pair of sheets or something.
No.
That's crazy.
Go to the pharmacy or go somewhere else.
Absolutely.
Get them on
Sam's
sale.
Club. There you go.
Yeah,
get a dozen.
Yeah.
Ask your wife first. Happy wife, happy life.
Yeah, right? Amen, brother. All right, we'll be back in the garden right after this. Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden. We are proud to announce that Bloomers in the Garden has partnered with Renewal by Anderson of Greater Philadelphia, Delaware, South Jersey, and Southern Maryland. Renewal by Anderson is the top window and door company in the United States, specializing in replacement windows and doors. You might be thinking right now, what the heck do windows have to do with gardening? Well, Renewal by Anderson makes this beautiful garden bay window that's energy efficient and made from recycled materials. It's perfect for growing the finest indoor plants possible. When you are looking out your windows filled with plants in your beautiful garden, you don't want to see old windows that are cloudy, warped, or even rotting. That's why people in the horticulture community love Renewal by Anderson. Not only do we want our gardens to be beautiful, but their homes as well. Renewal by Anderson participates in horticultural events such as flower shows, earth days, and eco fairs. To get more information and set up a free home consultation, please visit www.philadelphiawindow.com. And be sure to tell them Bloomers in the Garden sent you.
Is she gone?
Nope, she's still standing there.
What is she doing?
I think she's watching the grass grow.
That's our job.
I know, right? She's watching the grass grow, the flowers grow. Ooh, look, the trees are growing.
I can't say as I blame her. Remember where she bought all this stuff?
Duh, bought us there too.
Bloomers Home and Garden Center. Find us online at bloomers.com.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. So, the time is winding down and the gardening season is almost over. Yeah. Unless you're planting onions or garlic. You know, you should consider planting a cover crop. Now, we hear about cover crops all the time. It's a little bit confusing. Why do I plant something like winter rye? You know, I spend most of my summer trying to pull things away from my plants, and now I want to put something in that's going to grow like a weed. It is biomass. Sounds fancy word. Green manure.
Oh, yes.
Green manure, and I don't mean like fresh manure, like right from the horse's end. I mean green manure that you grow. Now, one thing that you may not know is that there are plants that will absorb nitrogen from the air and from the elements, and then put it back into the soil. And it's called nitrogen fixed plants, that where their roots are colonized by a certain bacteria, and it extracts that nitrogen again and converts it into a form that it can be put back into the soil. So it really improves your plants. A lot of the types of ground covers to use are legumes, but to me, I think clover is the perfect ground cover. It fills in real well, and that it does, it's easy to sow. And the best thing, it covers enough so that it'll kill any of the weeds that may be overwintering. And it's a perfect thing. So why don't you try it this year? Put down some clover. Red clover would be best. And that you're going to till it in and turn it over in this early spring before you plant. And it's going to be turned over. And here you're not only turning in the plant and making organic matter back in, but you're actually adding some more nitrogen back into your soil. So again, it's a great thing to use. Use red clover as a cover crop, and you'll be amazed that it will, you won't be using, like, for instance, we always say use bumper crop. This is like growing your own bumper crop. Now, bumper crop has things like, you know, earthworm castings and other things that this doesn't have, but it is the same concept where you're adding organic matter back into your soil that you just grew over the winter while your vegetable garden is dormant, and then you turn it into the spring. Do you see farmers do it all the time? I mean, it is something that is done, like, regularly, but you don't think of it for a small garden, but here you go. You can do it, and it gives you the same benefit. So, again, you're going to turn that over, and you're going to turn it in sometime probably March, April, and you're going to let it basically rot into the ground, and it won't take long. And again, you're just going to turn it over into the soil. But you have to sow those clover seeds now. So again, go to your local garden center, tell them what you're doing. You're asking for a cover crop. You don't need a 50-pound bag, okay? No. And depending, well, maybe you got a really big garden. But again, you're looking for a cover crop. I've seen them everywhere, as small as like small packets to like, say, a 3-pound bag of clover that you can put through. It's relatively inexpensive compared to like buying the same amount of fertilizer. And it's also, it makes your garden look clean. You know, rather than it just being bare soil and it not working over the season, you're going to put this in, and that it's going to come up and it's going to grow, and then you'll turn it over into the spring probably 2-3 weeks before you're going to plant. And there you go. Anything to add, Julio?
I like the fact that, you know, you're doing this for next year.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So get out there, throw some seed around.
Yeah.
and you'll have the best garden ever. We'll be back in the garden right after this. Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden.
Fertilome's Triple Action contains 70% neem oil and 0.25% pyrethrins as a concentrate and ready to spray. It is an insecticide, fungicide, and miticide labeled to use on vegetables, fruits, nuts, herbs, spices, and ornamentals. This organic OMRI-listed product controls a wide variety of insect pests and diseases, including aphids, scale, spider mites, white flies, rust, leaf spot, and powdery mildew. This insecticide is an all-in-one bottle that will cure just about any problem you may run into throughout the year. Fertilome's Triple Action has been helping gardeners across the country for years. Best to apply in late evening and early morning hours. Mix 1 ounce, which is equivalent to 2 tablespoons, in a gallon of water. The best part is,
Triple Action may be used up to the day of harvest. So the next time you are visiting your favorite garden center, ask for Fertilum's Triple Action and expect to have the best-looking plants in the neighborhood.
Fall is for planting. Visit Bloomer's Nursery and let one of Bloomer's nurserymen help you lay out your next landscape project. Bloomer's has the finest selection of fall flowers. Hardy mums in multiple sizes, celosia, coxcomb, winter pansies, ornamental peppers, ornamental kale and cabbage, and all types of grasses. Bloomer's has a frightening large selection of face pumpkins, flat stacking pumpkins, gourds, and fall decorating items. Come visit Bloomer's, the store behind the radio program, open 7 days. Go to www.bloomers.com. That's www.bloomers.com.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. Have you ever said, that plant blocks everything? Now's the time to move it.
That's right. All the time.
How many times you hear that? Oh,
yeah, that's right.
My plant is overgrown and I can't see.
Yeah, that's right. It's like, and also it's a safety thing. It's like I've had people say, it's like I'm afraid that somebody's going to hide behind it and jump me when I'm going into my house.
Oh, yeah.
Well, here. Now is the time to move it. Now is the time to move it. But a warning. There are just a few plants, and it's oaks. Like if you have an oak tree that you want to transplant or a birch that you want to transplant, they don't like to be dug up in the fall. And that if they're at the garden center's nursery, and you can buy them and put them in, but you just can't take them out. So there's no fall digging of oaks and birches for the most part. That's just one side. But what do you do? The bigger the ball, the better the transplant success. So again, you got to keep as much soil around that root. And I know these things can get heavy. Trust me. You know, I didn't get this size from handling 1 gallon plants. Yeah. You know, there's one thing too, is like if it's a shrub, like say you want to move a butterfly bush, cut it in half, you know, make it small so that you can dig it up easier, move it around so that it's not all top heavy. Any shrubs, for the most part, you can get away with that. And then you're going to move it to where you want it. And that here's how. Wait, you know, people like so many shrubs now are done with a, you know, pot. So they put them in a pot as opposed to burlap. You can move it with burlap. And then, you know, B&B, bald and burlap. You're basically going to be kind of doing that. You use a piece of burlap that you can get at your local garden center. They usually sell it by a small roll, or you can buy it by the yard, and that you can wrap the plant in that and drag it across the yard, or you can find a pot and put it in a pot and just do that. That would be easy to move if you have something that's small enough. But if you have something big, you're going to want to wrap it in burlap so that all the soil doesn't fall off around the root system, because they're getting traumatized by being dug anyway, but you don't want them to dry out when you shake all that soil off. You don't want to do that. So putting it back in the ground, this is where you have to make sure you don't skim. Dig the hole twice the size of the root ball. Okay, that's twice the size of the bottom that you took out. And that around the hole, you want to mix half the soil that you just took out of the hole and half bumper crop. Okay, you want that organic matter to be mixed in with your soil, all right? And we want to place some more back in, take that and put it back in the soil. And how much do I put in? Well, what you're going to do is you're going to measure with the opposite end of the shovel, and you're going to put enough in so that the plant is raised above the top of the root ball, so it's going to be at the same level or higher than it was. And you take your shovel, you put the bumper crop back in, you pat it all down, and then you turn your shovel upside down and you measure to where your root ball ends and to where the top of the root ball is, and you want to make sure that your hand is above the grade of your land. That makes sense, William?
Yep. It's going to be a little bit above the ground line.
Right, because what will happen is that you have this nice, soft bumper crop, And what's happening is that it'll settle. It'll settle. And one thing that's most important, a lot of people don't do, you're going to backfill and you're going to put all around that half and half mixture of bumper crop in your soil, and you're going to put it all around the root system, and then you're going to compact that soil all around the sides, eliminating any air pockets that could dry the root system. Because again, they're going to start to grow now, but they're also going to be vulnerable in this in the winter and spring. If there's like an air pocket, that section is going to possibly kill those roots. You want to make sure that you eliminate any of those air pockets. And again, tamping around the edge of it and the sides and making sure that it's nice and solid. And then you're going to water it. And you're going to water it until the ground freezes solid. So that's going to be a while. So again, don't skimp there, because that's the difference between success and failure. And again, don't forget this. Don't forget to go back and fill the original hole that you just took it from, so nobody falls into it. You know, you'd be, you know, mowing the grass. You know, it's like, whoa. So you break your neck. So again, make sure that you go and you fill, backfill in that original hole. So I've seen it. Anyway, if you have questions about how to transplant, please call the hotline. That's 609-685-1880. Please ask your question, and that will get back to you with the answer. And if we use your question on the air, you will get a free t-shirt. We'll be back in the garden right after this.
Last year, millions of Americans asked the internet about protecting their lawns and gardens. There's one simple answer: BioAdvanced. Because gardeners have trusted the Blue Bottle for decades. Invasive insects? Blue Bottle. Lawn fungus? Blue Bottle. Japanese beetles? Blue Bottle. A BioAdvanced answer for every question and guaranteed solutions for every problem. BioAdvanced. Get more from the Blue Bottle. BioAdvanced All-in-One Rose and Flower Care controls insects and diseases, plus feeds.
Here's the dirt on potting mixes. They're not all created equal. Espoma Organic Potting Mix gives roots the ideal balance of air and moisture. It contains a special blend of beneficial mycorrhiza to help grow stronger roots, bigger plants, and more bountiful blooms. Try Espoma Organic Potting Mix indoors and out for all your potted flowers, vegetables, and you'll see why it's the best. Visit Espoma.com for a retailer near you. Organic potting mix from Espoma, a natural in the garden since 1929. Your next houseplant is waiting for you in Bloomers Home and Garden Center's greenhouse. Bloomers recognizes that houseplant choices are as important to your interior decorating as the fabric on your couch. The right plant, paired with the perfect container, can bring a dynamic change to your home. A houseplant brings life to your world and connects your home's interior to the greater outdoors. Even a small succulent placed on your coffee table has a way of connecting your living room to the Amazon rainforest. How about an air plant in your kitchen? Looking for an indoor flowering plant to add color to your plant palette? Bloomers has a large revolving assortment of flowering beauties. From aglaonemas to ZZ plants, Bloomers Greenhouse is stocked with your next favorite indoor plant. Bloomers carries a large selection of pottery and containers to match your home's decor and make any of your plants more beautiful. Bloomers experts can help you care for your plants and have the fertilizer, insecticides, leaf shine, and specialty soils you need to grow healthy and happy indoor plants. Visit Bloomers Home and Garden Center's greenhouse and make every room in your home a living room. Visit bloomers.com for more information. That's bloomers.com, and we'll see you in the garden.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. Hey, I love feeding wild birds, and it's a real joy to me. Picking a good seed that's heavy in black oil, sunflower, or just feeding sunflower hearts, that's my favorite. I get the most selection of birds from doing that, and that's a no-brainer. So feeding sunflower hearts, it's basically whole sunflower seed. Suet, on the other hand, it's a little bit more confusing. Yeah. It's like, what the heck is this stuff? It's square. It's like, well, let's get right to it. Uh-huh. It's typical kidney fat from sheep and cattle.
There you go.
If you are watching us on YouTube, we ask you to please go on YouTube and please subscribe. If you're listening to us on podcasts, we ask, can you please give us a 5-star rating? We work hard at this show, and we hope that we're where teaching and you have a little bit of fun at the same time. So rendered, this is actually beef, rendered beef fat. So which is coming from most of the time, they say, so it's kidney fat. And the reason that birds will eat it, it's a high in calorie and it's a great energy source. So again, the birds, they need to eat through the winter, and that when basically all the natural things, and that's why a lot of times we say, like, leave your perennials, like your, like we have some Rudbeckia in the studio today, that you want to leave that go to seed so the birds can eat it. Don't cut them back. Let the birds take it, take the seeds off. But once that's all gone, you know, they need to find other sources for their food. And the animal fat, it's easily digested, metabolized, and it's a high energy food, and especially in cold weather.
Oh, yeah.
So it will basically heat the birds fast, and it's a part of your feeding routine. And that there is some people say, oh, well, it melts in the summertime. It's like, there are types that don't. So, but again, like, you think summertime, birds are eating bugs and things like that. There are no bugs available. So they need to replace that source of food. So, you know, think of it as, you know, having part of their food triangle, you know,
take away.
Right? Yeah. that where suet will replace the insects that they should be eating. Woodpeckers, I have woodpeckers. Like, all of a sudden, I saw a woodpecker on my suet feeder, and it was like a giant came and landed because it was a full size woodpecker. Wow. Blue jays will eat it. Wrens, they will go after it. There's sometimes that you don't want starlings because they like it. But the problem is that they're such hogs that they'll eat the whole thing. And that if you don't want starlings, you want to do an upside down suet feeder so that it's basically a clinger. They'll hang upside down where woodpeckers and chickadees, nuthatches, that they'll go and do that. But starlings don't do it. They don't do it. One thing to keep in mind, too, is that many adult birds will go over complete molt of their feathers. That means they lose their feathers each fall in getting ready for the migration. That requires a lot of energy, and that's available to them in suet. So, again, don't just think of like, oh, these birds are here all the time, these same birds. A lot of times, they'll come from Canada and they'll come down the coast and they'll feed along the way to their winter. I guess I almost say hunting grounds, but I guess it is to when they're going on their migration. So again, there are lots of different ways you can feed it. There's suet logs where you fill the logs in there. There's nuggets that you can actually put in your feeders, but feeding suet, you should start doing now. You should start doing now. Again, it's important for the birds. And the interesting part is that the different birds that you'll see at a suet feeder compared to at your regular feeder.
Yeah, feeder, yeah.
You know, like, again, full-sized woodpeckers. All of a sudden, not just a downy woodpecker, but you'll have full-sized red bellies that you're like, my gosh, it's giant.
Yeah. Where do they come from?
Right? Yeah. Right. All right. We'll be back in the garden right after this.
Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden.
If you're like me, then you absolutely love birds. The Bird Sanctuary at Bloomer's Home and Garden Center has you covered. They're dedicated to the care and feeding of wild birds of all sorts. Want to bring more birds to your yard? Then you got to see this place. Bloomer's has a huge flock of feeders, birdhouses, birdseed, and much, much more. Want to feed the birds and not the squirrels? They have this absolutely cool bronze bird feeder that will drive those sneaky squirrels nuts. They'll be moving to the next door neighbor in no time. OMG! Bloomers have these absolutely adorable birdhouses that will turn your yard into the perfect bird B&B. They carry all types of wild bird seed, suet, seed cakes, and mealworms. Bloomer Stocks, Lyric, Kohl's, CNS, Pine Tree Farms, and much, much more that will keep those beautiful birds coming back for more. Bloomer's Home and Garden Center is located in Washington Township in Gloucester County. For more information and directions, check them out on the web at bloomers.com. Bloomer's Home and Garden Center, you got to see this place.
You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider or see and hear us by subscribing to Bloomers' YouTube channel. Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley every Saturday. First, wake up with us at 6 a.m. on WNWR The Word at 95.3 FM and 1540 AM. Tune in at 8 a.m. to Bloomers in the Garden Radio on Talk 860 WWDB. A rebroadcast of Bloomers in the Garden Radio is played each Saturday evening at 5 p.m. on The Word, 95.3 FM and 1540 AM. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard throughout the New York tri-state area on Classic Oldies, 1250 AM WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden.
Me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Me and Julio, Hey, we challenge people this show, don't we?
Yes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Doing a cover crop, planting garlic and onions.
Yeah, there's still a lot to do, huh?
That's right. That's right. There. Get out there, get fit in the garden, go to your local garden center. That's now you can learn a lot and stretch yourself. You know, to be a more dynamic gardener.
Yes.
All right. We'll be back the same time next week in the garden.
See you in the garden.